The U.S. Secretary of State, Antony Blinken, is in South Africa. He landed yesterday, and later on today we'll be having a meeting with his South African counterpart, Dr. Naledi Pandor. Jean-Jacques Cornes joins us this morning. Jean-Jacques, what are you expecting from that meeting? Good morning to you.
Good morning to you. Well, he's going to outline the new U.S. strategy for Africa, and he's going to do this at a speech at Tux at the University of Pretoria. Then he will give a press conference with Naledi Pandor. Now the UN ambassador to the United States ambassador to the UN, I beg your pardon, Linda Thomas Greenfield, she was adamant that this is not a meeting, and neither was hers, to parts of Africa to counter the growing influence of China and Russia. But I mean, you know, the Sergei Lavrov, the foreign minister, was in Africa, as was the French president, Emmanuel Macron, last month. But this is simply to say that we are very, very jealous of our place as sort of, for example, South Africa, as the third largest trading partner of we're United States is the third largest trading partner, and we want to grow. It's very, very important to us that this group of countries, which most of whom are democracies, should fall in with us and support us at the United Nations. We want they want African support for the position on the Ukraine, which is not the case. You know, there were at least 17 countries that abstained, South Africa among them, in the vote condemning that invasion of Ukraine. So it's an interesting meeting altogether, and he's going to have to explain the position, because the enmity towards the United States, you know, for example, they're still not the African command of the United States military, which is supposed to help Africa in terms of jihadi attacks and those sort of things, bring stability, bring prosperity, but stability necessary for that prosperity, still doesn't have an headquarters in Africa. They are still based in Stuttgart. They do have, for the first time, General Michael Langley, a black Marine general in charge of them. It's the first time in the Marine Corps' 246-year history that they have a black four-star general commanding in the Marine uniform. So, you know, it's just United States, of course, played an integral role in the change, the transition from apartheid in South Africa. And I think that we're going to have the Secretary of State underline that, but the point is South Africa is slipping away, as are many other African members, and I think certainly Joe Biden's administration in Washington wants to bring them back into the corral, so to speak, which was something that, of course, Donald Trump, his predecessor, wasn't interested in doing at all. In fact, you know, it could be argued that Donald Trump actually, well, ignored Africa. And in fact, you know, he used a very vulgar term in describing African countries.
In fact, he created a country as well, right? Namibia, I think I seem to remember him putting out there. And I suppose that's important to note, JJ, because a lot of people will think that, I don't know, the strain between South Africa and some other African countries and their stance on the Russia-Ukraine matter, resulting in a strain with the United States, while it will be an elephant in the room, and I imagine both ministers will address that head on, this is not the stance of a cooling of relations. It does go back to Donald Trump's administration.
Well, it does. You know, if you look at relations with the democratic South Africa, nothing has even approached that between Madiba and Bill Clinton, you know, where they had cabinet ministers with direct numbers to one another, calling each other by their first names. You know, it really was quite an amazingly close relationship. And then under Thabo Mbeki and George W. Bush, things cooled. I mean, they were of different ideologies. And, it improved slightly after that, under Obama, of course, visiting this country. But Donald Trump, of course, it was the nadir. It went right down to the very bottom, and not only with South Africa, but with the whole of Africa. And so, you know, I think Joe Biden has his work cut out, bringing Africa back in. But the thing about it is that the United States does provide actual aid. I mean, Blinken is going on to Rwanda, and he's going on to the DRC. In Rwanda, of course, there's very, very serious concerns in the United States about the human rights violations, about Rwanda supporting rebels in the DRC, and about Paul Kagame's propensity for killing his opponents. Even in South Africa, that happened. There's going to be some concern there. There's going to be some tense meetings there. But with the DRC, they want to bring peace to the DRC, the very heart of Africa. And it's a most important safari that he's embarked on.
Let's finish off, actually, with Rwanda, where they are extracting methane gas now from Lake Kivu.
You know, I saw the first platform there back in 2007, and a very interesting thing. Now, Kivu has this because of it's a very deep lake, 500 meters deep. And, you know, they have a lot of pressure. It borders the Rift Valley, and these tectonic forces still pulling the continent apart at play under there. But the layers of water from the sort of warmer top layer to the colder bottom layer or cooler bottom layer, the thing about it is most water tracts like this, as limnologists, and limnologists, a new word I'm teaching you, are people who study vast tracts of fresh water, the chemical and other properties. But they noticed that the Lake Kivu, which is the border between the DRC and Rwanda, it gets warmer as it gets to the bottom, and that's because of the activities of Nyiragongo, the great volcano just up the road. And you know, if ever the magma from that should go subterraneally underneath the water, it could in fact loosen off a huge cloud of methane gas and CO2 that could endanger the lives of 2 million people. Mm. Now, we had such a thing occur in Cameroon. They have two such lakes with volcanic activity underneath. And in 1986, a great number of people were killed. I can't remember. There were 1,800 people died in that one. So removing the gas is potentially, they're getting cooking gas from it at the moment. And they're hoping to be able to generate electricity. And the limnologists aren't absolutely sure whether removing the gas is going to improve or exacerbate the stability of it. But it's a very, very interesting, and many of the projects that Rwanda undertakes are very interesting, that they should be taking this gas off. It's a Rwandan, Nigerian, and German conglomerate that is doing this. And it's a very expensive operation. But at the moment, you know, you get balloons of huge bubbles of methane come to the surface. Swimmers have died. Boat people, I mean, it's a lot of fishing in Kivu. Whole boatloads of fishermen, nocturnal fishermen, have suddenly not come home and found to have died because of this. So, you know, Rwanda, it can be understood that they would take on removing or using the gas, but yeah, we're not 100% sure that it's not going to do, you know, what the long-term effects of this is going to be.
JJ, we'll leave it there. Thank you very much for your time this morning. Once again, limnology is a study of the biological, chemical, and physical features of lakes and other bodies of fresh water. JJ Cornish there.